This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and lived to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
Kyle, what a bounce back last night. The Timberwolves, they got a guy fired. That's how much they bounced back last night. And I don't mean to, it was a soft landing. Didn't the Wizards coach wound up in the front office, right?
So yeah, I've always wondered how that works. I hope that when I eventually get laid off from Flagrant Howls, I get to like just do
you'll be in the full put you in the front office of the show. Yeah.
Yeah. It was also funny too.
That's Unsell Jr., by the way.
Who I think he was hired back in 2021, I think, with the Wizards, was a really hot coaching candidate. And so I thought he would do a good job, has a tree of, you know, family members, and he was a good part of a good coaching tree. But I just thought last night or this morning when he got fired that, remember a couple of years ago? It was 2021 when Joseph Blair, he was on Finch's staff, like did an abrupt just left in the summer to go to like the Wizards, and it was like the most lateral job in the world. The Wolves were, you know, kind of up and coming at the time, but I remember Joseph Blair was going to coach the summer league team back in 2021, and then like 2 days before they were in Vegas, it's like, actually, I'm going to go coach with the Wizards and be their defensive coordinator. And essentially since then, the Wolves have been really good defensively, and I don't know what Joseph Blair is going to do now, but sometimes the grass is not always greener on the other side.
Was that the revenge game against Joseph Blair?
Yeah, I bet you that's what everyone came out last night and said, we gotta get this one for Finchie. We gotta beat Joseph Blair.
So they do bounce back. I mean, it was against the Wizards, and things did get kind of tenuous in that game. And Mike Conley is still out. He's got some hamstring stuff. He had an illness. We'll see what happens. They do have a quick turnaround back to back tonight in Brooklyn. But there's a million things we're gonna get to, and we've got a random wolf of the week, but I think the striking thing from yesterday was the pregame. So Chris Finch comes out, and he's had 48 hours to sort of think on what happened at Target Center against Charlotte. My God, the Wolves have only lost 3 home games all year, right? That was one of them, and we talked about it on Tuesday. It was one of the most embarrassing losses, considering Cat scored 62. So Chris Finch comes out in the postgame at Target Center and uses the words disgusting and immature. He was disgusted with his team. And then he reflects on it for 48 hours and he says, you know, In retrospect, I should have at least shined a light on Kat's historical performance. And then they run Kat out on Bally's after the game against the Wizards, right? Okay, this was supposed to happen a couple nights ago, but let's run him out there now to say hi to all the fans at home and, you know, make reference to the 62 points. What did you make of just sort of the almost like organizational regret about not giving Kat his flowers for breaking the franchise scoring record?
Just a lot to think about. So
should Finch have felt guilty for that post game?
The reason I'm so pro Chris Finch, I will never understand the X's and O's as much as a Dane Moore or a Jake Painting or a lot of people that listen to this that are fans of the team. But sometimes, and I'm telling you this, man, and Phil, you'll back me up on this, being in locker rooms and actually talking to these guys, it's not always about who can run the best systems. And that might piss you off as a fan. I'm just being honest with you. The best people, the smartest coaches in the league that are geniuses at offense and defense are not always the one that are the head coach. That's how sports work.
Doc Rivers keeps getting head coach jobs, not because he's an X's and O's tactician, but because he's been a culture builder and a superstar connector, right?
And the thing is, you can't measure that. I always say, like, how do you go define culture on Basketball Reference? How do you see player relations on Basketball Reference? You can't. But it is such a big thing. And the reason I am always pro Chris Finch is because after a game that one of your players was stat hunting and all of his teammates, I'm not going to use a drinking analogy, I've been scolded about that, but were feeding into this whole thing and not being helpful, the coach came out and called everyone out and was like, that was embarrassing. I believe, I consume this on a daily basis with my friends and my family, it's really important to hear what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. because this organization, for the longest time, has just been telling their star players what they want to hear. And it's probably why they haven't won a playoff series in 20 years. So Finch comes out after the most embarrassing loss of the season and really gets into them. Well, the problem is, and this is some of the downside of fans like me wanting more national coverage of your team or national televised games, is that they just see the snippets. They just see the video, right? So I don't know if this is true or not, but the post-game questions about kind of like, hey, Finch, you know, like, do you want to provide a little more context on that? I think that's directly tied to what Bill Simmons and Kevin O'Connor were talking about on their podcast, where Simmons came out and, you know, loves to take shots at Minnesota. And he's still pretty bullish on them as a team, but thinks, I think he referred to them as knuckleheads, was like, not only did Chris Finch, like, drive over Karl-Anthony Towns, he, you know, reversed and then drove over him again and reversed and drove over him again like Grand Theft Auto, like you would run over a person. And started to be like, I think there's some cultural issues there in the locker room and all stuff. And that's kind of dangerous, in my opinion, because that's not true. Like, whatever, the team sucks offensively, right? They can't execute. They have a bad offense. There's a lot of issues that people are bringing up that are true. There's not a locker room issue. That's not a guess. That's a statement. There's not a locker room issue.
I agree.
So Finch calling him out was necessary. I'm actually kind of disappointed that they even felt the need to walk it back.
That's where I'm at, too.
So the chur to you, but I mean, yeah, like, so Chris Hine had a really good tweet before the game. It was a question by Krasinski, and it was just Finch being like, I'm always going to give them an honest assessment. I probably should have given him a little more flowers for the fact that he did score 62. It's a big moment for the organization in terms of it's a new record, but, you know, it didn't happen in a win. But I thought Finch kind of tried to walk it back, which is like, I'm actually kind of disappointed because he didn't do anything wrong. I hate when you apologize for things you don't do wrong.
Dude, yes.
But yeah, and then Cat after the game, Jace Frederick has this. So I'm just going to read this one quick. But this was Cat post-game Monday after those things. Cat said, I'll tell you one thing. He ain't lying because he said the same thing to us, which is also what Ant said. He's like, Finch yelled at us at halftime. And Finch said that. So what you're hearing by him in the post-game is what we're hearing in the locker room. The words he picked today are true. I think at the end of the game, with everything going on and everything, you know, we just have to find a way to be mature and get the job done, and something we've done really well all year, true, and just unfortunate it bit us tonight and cost us a chance to come out here with a win. So I don't think Finch needed to apologize. He didn't really apologize. He walked it back. But if you think this team is immature, and they played the most immature team in the world last night, in the Washington Wizards.
I think
this is why I'm pro Finch and some people are, is that he's just going to continue to be kind of bad cop with these guys because he probably sees that they have real growing up to do. And there's two ways to handle that. Coddle them or just tell them like it is. And he tells it like it is. And that's why I stand for him.
But yeah, so just to unpack some of
that. That was a lot. I'm sorry.
No, dude. No, don't. See, you just did it.
But
you
I did. Just, I took up a lot just, of time. I did. I did it.
No,
God damn.
You apologize for something you didn't need to.
Look at me.
So I didn't hear the Bill Simmons and KOC podcast.
No, you didn't.
And I will go back and listen. And I do. I love listening. I think the Ringer basketball stuff is entertaining, and, mm-hmm. and I'm here for it. And they've been largely pro Timberwolves.
Yep.
But let's go down a path here for a second, because, and I'm inferring this from you that they're kind of insinuating, boy, is there some cultural stuff? Is there like some locker room stuff brewing? And I agree that directly on the surface, there's no like power struggle. Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns clearly coexist and play off each other really well. I mean, look at the lineup numbers, plus minuses, when Gobert and Cat are on the court. Like, everything really, like, what they need is just a third scorer of some kind. They need some offensive punch. It's not like a cultural thing that's holding them back. But is it weird that Chris Finch felt the need? Like, who was pressuring? I don't think Finch is like scrolling through Instagram and social media. I don't think he's looking at replies and saying, boy, you know, these Bob 62574 on Twitter/X is not happy with the way that I didn't praise Karl-Anthony Towns. What compelled him to feel the need to walk back valid and accurate, spot on criticism?
Yeah, no,
that's my question.
And that's why I'm disappointed, right?
And is that the crack in the armor that, oh man, this team, boy, Carl's personality won't allow for valid criticism. And so I have to incorrectly walk it back to the public.
Okay, we're turning this into one of those crime podcasts. So yes, the crime occurs on what, Monday against the Hornets, and then Finch says what he says. And then Carl and Ant both say, like, yep, He was really mad at us at halftime, and we just didn't listen, and then we lost. And then Simmons does, I think, his podcast on Tuesday, right? Everything seems fine. And then Wednesday, they kind of walk it back. So I don't know. That's a great question of, like, who felt the need. Again, you have covered a team or been in those locker rooms much more than I have. But
I was
thinking last night, unrelated, but maybe a basketball topic we can get into, is when Carl did his post-game stuff with John Krasinski, and John was asking about, you know, just letting it fly more. Carl looks into the camera and goes, I've heard a lot of people wanting me to take more threes.
I hate that comment, by the way.
Well, first of all, I'm just going to say thank you for listening to Flagrant Howls and the Dane Martin Bay podcast, because that has been something I have been asking for. So,
but he's like, this is, I don't know, this, no, this is going to devolve into like a cat hate thing here for me. I know it. But even like, even in that moment where they're winning a game against Washington after blowing this fourth quarter lead when they're stat chasing and he is the guy that's leading the charge, trying to get to whatever milestone. At first, Ant said it was 100. At some point in the fourth quarter, maybe it became 70. But like objectively, he is one of the greatest big man three-point shooters in the history of the league. He probably is the greatest 7-foot three-point shooter in history.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he should be taking a lot of threes. I think he took 10 of them last night, whatever it was. Like, he should be taking 7, 8, 9, 10 threes every single night, objectively, strategically. And for him to get in front of the camera and kind of make it like about, oh, other people get mad when I don't take three-pointers, that's like, cat. Why do you disagree with that accurate assessment? Why aren't you taking more three-pointers? You know, so there's so much to unpack these last 72 hours.
We're just flying here. I love it. Let's keep going. So, because I want to one-up that. I kind of see that. I kind of see your point, right? Like, if I had deemed myself the greatest podcaster of all time, which is only something I'd say privately, I should be doing a lot of podcasts. So if you kind of announce yourself as the greatest shooting big man of all time, you should shoot more from three, because as Phil just said, you're really good at it.
He's shooting less than last year,
mm-hmm.
and he's shooting a lot less than like 5 years ago from three, just statistically.
And very small sample size, but in the last two games, he's taken 25 threes. Now, that Hornets game is a very big outlier for 1,000 reasons, but I will say, too, the offensive numbers are kind of starting to tick up, and that was one of the things that if Carl was listening to these pods, we were saying, like, maybe just three, what we said it last week, you and I, maybe three less Ant ISOs and three more Carl threes could just kind of unstagnate this offense. To the Carl stuff in general, the post-game stuff, I can see it and I cannot see it. I also saw there was like a kind of a viral tweet about four or five people quote tweeting the video of Carl and John speaking, and Carl's in a great mood. They won. Carl's really excited to see John, who is normally doing athletic stuff, and he's, you know, kind of moonlighting for Bally's and stepping in. I wanted to ask you this, but I don't want it to be like confrontational. It's just a question I have in general, and I pose it to the audience in the comments and all that stuff. What do you think the worst thing Karl-Anthony Towns, or the most frustrating thing Karl-Anthony Towns has done since he was drafted by the Timberwolves?
It's all just on-court immaturity stuff.
Okay.
Like, it's not got arrested, certainly. It's not.
I'm just not trying to put...
I don't think he's like a dick to reporters. I mean, sometimes he can be surly and he can be quiet and a little bit immature and cantankerous, but like KG could be mean to people behind the scenes. I'm not defending him.
I'm just asking because... there's like this viral tweet overnight of all these people ripping on him, and again, like these voice changes and stuff.
Oh.
And it's getting, I don't really want to get into this, but it's getting close. It's getting close to, well, more so like the way he talks post game or on podcast. It's getting really close to like some real like awkward. I mean, my voice changes every time I talk to other people, or just when I'm happy or when I'm sad. Like, just the way sometimes we criticize him. And the reason I asked you this is that, yes, he hasn't won enough games. He has not delivered as a number one overall pick. And his on-court immaturity, you know, Ant can be immature at 22. Jaden can be immature at 23 because they are still young. Carl's 28. Yeah. Like, you might be who you are now. He might never mature on the court.
But is it fair to say that he is one of the most complex NBA superstars to evaluate in the last 10 to 15 years? Because everything that's being said here, We all too often try to put, like, people are doing this with Brock Purdy right now. If you happen to like turn on morning national or afternoon NFL you know, these Fox Sports 1 shows and ESPN and podcasts. You know, is Brock Purdy? I literally saw this morning on Get Up, and I love that show. Mike Greenberg's been a friend of the Mackie and Judd podcast, whatever. But it is like they were literally asking a question: is Brock Purdy closer to being the MVP of the league or the main problem with the San Francisco, like the main thing holding the San Francisco for? It's like you just literally just described like Christian Ponder. Or is he Christian Ponder, and he's being propped up entirely by the system? Or is he Patrick Mahomes, and he's dragging everyone? And I would say 90% of the time in sports arguments, the answer is in the gray area between mm-hmm. the things. And so with Carl, too, on one hand, I would say the most staunch Cat fans would say he is a twice-in-a-generation, three-times-in-a-generation, 7-foot unicorn, because there's guys like Jokic and Embiid out there, too, who is a dominant force offensively that's just been stuck in terrible situations since being drafted. The man that drafted and coached him passed away of cancer, and then they went on a cycle of coaches and front offices and bad teammates. And all that's all true. And over here, but a lot of those people would say, therefore, you can never criticize him. And anyone that criticizes him is mean and is garbage and doesn't know ball. But then on the other side, the criticisms are, boy, he is a foul machine who seems really immature for being 8 years in the league when it comes to controlling his emotions, knowing exactly like what spots to get to in key moments without committing offensive fouls. And in about half of the playoff games he's played, he kind of derails them by either getting into foul trouble or just like not being able to get his offense off or whatever. Maybe like, therefore, he's garbage is where mm-hmm. people will go. But like the truth is, it's in between all of that. He's complex. There's great characteristics about him that sometimes carry the franchise on a weekly basis. And then there's other things like we saw in the Memphis series 2 years ago where he's like unplayable for three of the games in that series. And all of that is in the stew of Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah. And I just wanted to bring this up because I want to highlight where I'm kind of diving into how I cover or analyze or just what I think of Carl. Everything you said is right. Nothing you said is wrong. The off-court issues are stamped, they are prolonged, and this is just some of the stuff that goes along with him. I just, back to your comment about the Ringer and their NBA coverage, Kevin O'Connor and Verno, who covers the Grizzlies, they just did their mismatch pod the other day, and Verno basically ripped Carl on a national podcast, making fun of his voice changes and all this stuff, which again is really starting to get a little weird to me. Like, I remember when Carl like kind of cried and like waved goodbye to the fans after one season, how he got ripped. And it's like, again, I just am asking, I'm thinking out loud and I'm building the way I think of this. Chris Vernon covers a guy who posted guns online. Like that seems a little more like maybe you should stay in your lane a little bit in terms of how we're making fun of a guy who at 28, now we just kind of know is weird. And like you said, complex. Again, the on court stuff is all true. It's just the way that we talk about it off court and the way we nitpick it is weird because we don't really do that. I mean, I just saw this morning three Thunder players post like a TikTok where they're like mouthing the lyrics to a song. Like, it's cool, whatever. Players, do whatever you want. But it's like if Carl Anthony Towns, you know, was mouthing the lyrics to a Reba McEntire song and posted on TikTok, he would be suspended by NBA Twitter. Like, just for being, I don't know, it's just, I think it's borderline bullying. And I'm not trying to defend him. It's just, it's a weird way to react to a guy whose biggest flaws are that he just hasn't lived up to the hype.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. I think if he was like a late first round pick, if he was Naz Reid and he was kind of quirky and he didn't make supermax money, he'd just be like, oh, that guy's got kind of a quirky personality and sometimes he fouls out a little earlier than you thought.
But he's never cleared out the room at Golden Corral and been addicted to porn like Zion Williamson. And people just continuously like, oh, Zion, you see that dunk for Duke? Like, I can give you a bunch of number one guys that have way less lived up to the hype as a number one overall pick and have done way weirder things off the court. Some criminal. This guy just has multitude of ways he responds to questions. And sometimes I do that. And sometimes I'm really happy.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say this. The voice thing has never been, as someone who has found a lot of things to criticize him for in 9 years, the voice changing thing is not, first of all, I don't even know how true it is, like relative to other people. I get that he has different inflections and changes his voice, but I mean, if you go back and listen to like Purple Daily podcast, there's some days where I'm probably like on the ceiling, like, what is that? What are the Vikings doing? That's a foul.
And that was that was 20 minutes of Wolves Wizards coverage.
What happens in January when you're.
I mean, yeah, like I can't believe they mailed in that game against the Hornets. Like, but you listen to Mackie and Kyle talk about Wolves Wizards today, just didn't talk about it. For what it's worth, again, not to use a gambling thing, it's kind of interesting. They were 10.5 point favorites last night after the most embarrassing loss. They do win by 11. So it wasn't pretty. What, they were down at half? And then the Wizards came out in the third and had a little run. But then the Wolves kind of, again, if they don't know by now what their calling card is, defense, then we have to really start to worry, because they finally played a little defense in the third, got out to a 12-point lead at the end of the third. And then, yeah, again, just toyed with their food a little bit. But they ended up doing what Vegas thought they were going to do. So get back in the win column, 31-13. That matches the win total, I think, from the first year David Kahn was the GM when they went 31-51.
It's a great segue, because I have that basketball reference page pulled up right now. And you've already gone to school on the 19
I have
players,
no idea who's on that roster.
It's time to quiz Kyle for the latest historical Timberwolves roster that this year's team just caught in season wins. So, yeah, you're right. It was 31 wins for the 2012-13 Minnesota Timberwolves. So the Timberwolves this year could literally lose every single game the rest of the season, and they would match the Rick Adelman and David Kahn-led 2012-13 team. So we're going to quiz you in a second and get to a random Wolf of the Week. A shout out to our friends over at First Equity Mortgage. So a few years ago, I had a great experience refinancing the house that I lived in, the condo at the time, with David over at First Equity Mortgage. Now, David, speaking of the Timberwolves, is actually a 20-year Wolves and Lynx season ticket holder. You'll probably see him roaming around. David has good seats, too. He'll definitely be looking down toward the court area. But not only did I have a great experience with David and First Equity, but First Equity has also handled home loans or refis for 20 of my coworkers and friends over the past decade. So we can all speak to the great work that they do at femort.com. That's femort.com or scorenorth.com, keyword David. Scorenorth.com, keyword David. Also, our friends over at Zero Res are helping you to deep clean your homes. Your dirty, disgusting carpets, your clogged up and disgusting air ducts. You don't have to live in that filth. You can get a hold of our friends at Zero Res, who have a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Google with over 17,000 reviews. Ask for the Scornorth special and get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $119. That's 3 rooms Zero Resified, $119, and $75 off when you get your air ducts cleaned. Ask for the Scornorth special at ZeroResMinnesota.com or 952-ZERO-RES. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
Housekeeping note, because I said this wrong. The 2012-2013 team that we're about to talk about, that was David Kahn's last year.
Yeah.
As the GM.
08-09 was his
first when he
year?
Came in. Or yeah. 09. So it was him and Adelman. And then the next year, I believe Flip Saunders was the executive and Adelman was still the coach. And that year they went 40-42. Rick Adelman, we need to do a podcast on him sometime. Underrated just in Timberwolves. He was a really good coach. No BS, just a good coach.
He was, but they had, it was, I wish we would have had like 10 years previous Rick Adelman, because he was
like
kind
Kings
of,
Adelman, yeah.
It was kind of a retirement job for him, and they had some teams in that era that were really good, and they had, it wasn't that year, because this might have been the year that they had a couple injuries, but they had a team that was like fifth in the West in point differential and missed the playoffs and finished below 500. Like, they were projected to win 50 games with just their net point differential, and they finished 8 games below. So they had some talented teams in that era, but they couldn't quite get to the playoffs. So 19 players played at least a game for the 2012-13 Timberwolves. How many of those 19 can Kyle name?
So I'm not looking at this now, but I will
I'm
just
let
say,
Ross help you here too. We're gonna bring Ross in next.
Ross, welcome back, sir. I will say
this is gonna be rough, by the way.
This was one of my favorite rosters because I know a couple guys that were on it. I still to this day believe Derek Williams has a chance. So I think this might have been Derek Williams' second year.
He's still in his prime, man. He's what, he's like 31 now?
He is killing it overseas in the basketball world. So not only was Derek Williams on this team, Ricky Rubio would have been on this team.
Yeah.
Kevin Love would have been on this team. Nikola Pekovic would have been on this team.
Oh, this might have been the knuckle push-ups year because Love only played 18 games.
Oh, okay.
Mm, yeah.
On the roster. So Peck, but then I know, because if this was the David Kahn last season as GM, there was a lot of weird signings, but some of them I really love. So Brandon Roy's probably on this team.
Yep. Five games of broken Brandon Roy.
And with all due respect to Kyle Anderson, who is the best free agent signing in Timberwolves history. I know his Q rating's a little low right now, but I still have a Andre Kirilenko Timberwolves jersey. And man, you said Adelman AK was kind of a
47.
Running with it.
One of the best nicknames. I think he had a weird hall pass with his wife. That's another story, but he was just such a phenomenal player, obviously historically good in Utah, but I love a good Swiss Army knife. They can do a bunch of stuff. And Andre Kirilenko getting to see, I don't know, 40 games of him was fantastic. Outside of that,
64 games. Of
outside of that, I mean, there was probably like a bunch of weird random guys. I always think back to like Mikhail Jelibol was on that team.
Yep. 13 starts for Mikhail Jelibol. He was French, right? That started the French.
The French Revolution.
Run of great Wolves players.
He walked so Rudy Gobert could run. and then the only one I can think of is that I don't know if this was towards the end of his tenure or the beginning, but J.J. Barea was on that team.
Yep. He played 74 games.
That's, I think, all I know.
There's definitely, there's more here for sure.
Okay, hit me, Ross.
I think. Was Dante Cunningham on that team?
Yep. Dante Cunningham. He played 80 games, started nine
Boomer,
points.
Yeah, he's like Boomer Jared Vanderbilt.
And this one's close.
He's like poor man's Taj Gibson, kind of. Okay.
He was either just traded for or maybe he was gone, but was 7 foot tall, lanky Chase Buttinger. Was he on that team?
Chase, yep. Beach volleyball Chase. He's on he's like right now, I think.
That's right.
On the National Beach Volleyball Circuit. That's 10. You guys you got 10 out of 19 right now.
You know what else is on this team? Because he had to have started in what I believe some call the cream team. Luke Ridenour was on this team because he started at shooting guard.
All 82 he started. So you guys have 11 out of the 19, and there's more meat on the bone here. This chicken wing is not quite.
Oh, did you say Alexei Shved? He would have been on that team, right?
Change your face.
Yep, change your face.
Oh, that might have been 12. His rookie year. Okay. I'm still running out of guys. Is there? I feel like I'm missing a big guy.
Who was?
I would say this. You're missing. Hold on. You're missing a guy that started a big man that started 19 games. You're missing a bunch of starts here. Actually,
they had Kyle, help me out. Lots of hair, tall white guy. That could be anybody.
All right, let me just filter through that really quick for 92,000.
Starts with an
Adam.
A,
Adam Morrison.
No, starts with an Amundsen.
Lou Amundsen. Yep.
Amundsen. Lou Amundsen was on this team. He played in 20 games. Did not start.
Oh, if this is the second year of Derek Williams, Malcolm Lee from UCLA.
He started 12 games.
Malcolm Lee.
It's a great pull, man.
He was I think a second round pick. He's basically like that version of Jalen Clark, and I was like, oh, Malcolm Lee is going to be awesome. Those are the days, man, where you just like got a half-eaten sandwich, and you're like, this might be it. This might be the best thing I've ever eaten.
When – I think I'm going to be wrong here because this might have been later. When did they throw a bunch of bad money at Steemsma?
I'm going to give you that because Greg Steemsma started 19 games for this team. Steamer. Oh,
good call, Steamer. Ross. They were probably paying Cole Aldrich, too. It's got to be just fringe guy.
You're up to 15 out of 19. This is a job well done here. There is So there's four guys left. I would say, well, there's one that I don't know how gettable it is, but here's your hint. If you're ranking these guys based on like how many NBA fans know the 19 guys on this list, this guy would be very high. Top five or six.
Again, David Kahn's last year's executive. I said Brandon Roy, right? That's on the list already?
Yep.
Okay. Trying to think back to that draft.
This guy once scored his best season in the NBA. He scored 20 points, 7 rebounds, a block, a steal, 2 assists.
Oh, this
and played in an NBA Finals, if I'm not mistaken.
This sounds like
it does. This is the deep anals. Is it anals? Anals
just
of
primer.
We'll say annals. Just
annals.
You know.
Deep anals. Josh Howard.
Josh Howard is
correct. Josh Howard. Wow. Josh okay. Howard. Good clue. Also, if we're thinking young, because I remember the young guys. All these guys were the only thing I had going for me. Lazar Hayward. I might have mentioned
pick
him.
Or late first.
I think
round
he was
pick?
A second round pick out of Marquette.
This is wow. This is amazing.
And then there was a tall. It wasn't Anthony Randolph. I know he's not on this team, but there was a tall 7-foot center with a super generic name that I thought was like, again, like, oh, maybe that's our Gobert at the time. Spoiler alert, it wasn't, but I don't know. I just remember this
player did average one block in 9 minutes per game, which is pretty good.
That's my second. Yeah, that's better.
His per 36 minutes, if you can think of his generic name as I buy you time here. His per 36 minutes for the Timberwolves, 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 blocks.
How about like Bill or Will Johnson?
You're halfway there.
Really? Halfway there? Was it the Johnson or the Will or Bill?
No, it's the Johnson, Ross. Chris Johnson, Titans running back, but yeah, Chris Johnson, CJ2K from the Tennessee
Titans.
There's
one left. Can you get the last guy? The 2012-13 Timberwolves. Can you get the last one?
Have we named anybody yet who wasn't on the team? I think I'm more impressed by that.
No, you are 18 for 18 right now.
There's
one guy left. He played in 4 games. He played a total of 20 minutes. And in those games, he went 0-for-9 from the field.
Well, it's not Mike Miller, but Mike Miller somewhere is happy about that performance.
He previously played for Memphis, Clippers, then Italian Pro League, D League, and Chinese Pro League, and then the Rockets. And then he went to a Turkish Pro League, the D League, and then at age 30, closed out his career with 20 minutes with the Timberwolves.
He was
a guard, point guard, shooting guard.
Sounds like the reincarnation of Shane Heal, now our favorite random wolf of the week.
The best 3-point shooting player in Timberwolves history who averaged 2 points a game.
And Kyle, I don't know, when did you move to the Pacific Northwest, Kyle?
9 years ago. I think he's a coach.
You guys might have crossed paths.
Oh, I think, yeah, because I think I tweeted that the Wolves traded me for him. He's from Portland.
He went to UW, went to Garfield High School.
Will Conroy. Wow, look at that. Let's go.
There's no way. I'm not even convinced Will Conroy's a real person, other than I have heard him as a
I'm not really sure that entire roster is real, to be honest with you.
His
this
Twitter
lady
handle
on the plane.
Is,
that's not real. That isn't real.
His Twitter handle is Chill Conroy, and he is the associate head men's basketball coach at the University of Wisconsin or Washington. Go Huskies.
Might have to get him on the pod. Maybe. I wonder if I'll have to go do some digging. I wonder if he coached like Jaden and Jalen. Anyway.
You know, this should be a thing. We should get like, and we'll do the random wolf here in a second, but we should get the random wolf. So what, like once we finish it, if this is going to be like super producer stuff from Ross, that once we finish it, all of a sudden, like in the green room here on our recording, like boom, Will Conroy pops up. Oh, it's Nikola Pekovic.
We got to do
the Russian track.
We got to do the music too. Like, oh my God, that's Will Conroy's music.
Yeah. That's Will Conroy. My God.
Oh, sorry, I changed my voice again. I am greasing the wheels here. Greasing something to. I'm killing it today. To get Shane Heal on the pod. I'm trying, Shane Heal. I'm trying to reach out to your people.
Let's make it happen.
We would like to have you on here to talk about 35 years of Wolves fandom.
I also want you guys to know very quickly. Sorry, Phil. It's funny that you would bring having that person appear I have reached out to a few that I think are obtainable to see if they would read the clues for me.
Oh, I would love that. And like then a little shadow.
Then I maybe disguise their voice or maybe put them in a shadow and they read the clues themselves.
Like a suspect or a witness in like a crime show on CBS where it's dark or like, whoa.
Witness protection program.
Next week on Flagrant House, Shane Heal in a dark room.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do random wolf I have like 5 or 6 minutes here just for timing wise. So I might have to rifle off my guesses quick. Ross is going to throw out a series of clues and Kyle and I get up to 3 strikes. We can throw out guesses whenever we want to. If one of us hits a 3rd strike, the other person wins automatically. Kyle has a 6-3 lead in the 9 that we've done so far. The last handful of random wolves are Robert Covington, Greg Smith, Shane Heal, Omri Caspi, and Bobby Jackson. So, Ross, the floor is yours.
All right, gentlemen. This Wolf of the Week did not play college basketball in a power conference. So keep that in mind. He did not play college basketball in a power conference.
So he played in the Big Ten? Anyway, keep going.
I have a guess.
Well, okay. No, you don't.
Go.
If you get this after one, I quit.
Is it Michael Olowokandi?
It is not Michael Olowokandi. You just wanted the dance music of all his
clubbing. Can you go to Pacific? I want to say.
This Wolf of the Week is 35 years old.
I love that. Love that clue.
This Wolf of the Week is 35 years old.
Okay, so carry the fist. I'll try to do some math here. Okay, so
I was told there would be no math. This Wolf of the Week, gentlemen, still in the National Basketball Association. I love when it's eerily silent. That's my favorite part because I know the wheels are turning.
I mean, there's probably only 3 or 4 guys that could be options.
I think people love this bit, and I love them. They're like, I'm screaming it in the car. Someone knows who this is, and I'm like,
already, 35. Yeah.
Who's a random wolf? Shake Milton? No, he won't be here.
This actually finally playing again. This Wolf of the Week was his state's Mr. Basketball in the year of our Lord, 2007. Again, this Wolf of the Week was his state's Mr. Basketball.
Blake Hoffarber. No, I'm just
2007.
Kidding.
2007. Minnesota's real miracle man, Blake Hoffarber. All right, this will start to narrow it down for you, gentlemen. This Wolf of the Week drafted in 2008.
Derrick Rose.
Good job, Phil.
Is it Derrick Rose?
It's Derrick Rose.
Let's go!
Whoa.
Derrick Rose.
Okay. Well done.
Okay.
And just to be clear, I got a little terrified when I read that question. We would still, even in today's college basketball, view Memphis as not in a power program, correct?
You're good. Yep.
Conference USA, I'm pretty sure.
He wasn't as random to me, so I guess, because we've really pulled out the Shane Heals and Omri Caspis, but Derrick Rose.
We've graduated from Omri Caspi and Greg Smith to Derrick Rose over the past month.
Yeah, Derrick Rose,
The algorithm has been a lot more kind the last few weeks, because you've had Robert Covington, Roko, as the kids like to call him, and now Derrick Rose. So
wow, Kyle, this is the first back-to-back wins for old Macadac here. All right,
good work, Phil.
Get your
confidence back. That was a really good, well put together one. 35, still in the league. Actually, ironically, playing for Memphis now, the Grizzlies. Hey, before I know, we got to go. We got to wrap this up. And again, everyone who listens, thank you so much, and like and subscribe. Just throw it out there so I can think about it. But we're not gonna do any talking about it. Just throw out. Give me the topic of the reckless speculation.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
We'll burn it down.
I will say, since we've been playing guessing games for like the last 20 minutes here, this potential Timberwolves trade target played in his first game of the season last night. This potential Wolves trade target played 11 minutes, came off the bench, knocked down 3 of his 4 shots, dished out 3 assists and 3 rebounds in those 11 minutes.
Oh my God.
This potential Wolves trade target spent time, several years actually, under the front office tutelage of Tim Connolly himself.
Are you talking about the undefeated Detroit Pistons since Monty Morris has come back.
Dude, Monte Morris is back on the court. He's an expiring contract. He's a point guard combo guard who can knock down some threes.
What's he make?
Microwave some offense. $9.8 million. $9.6 million. But that's the problem is, like, how do you make that work without trading Kyle Anderson?
Tim Connolly was at the Wizards game last night. I mean, these guys travel around, but we are 2 weeks to the hour, I believe, from the trade deadline. So I watched that game last night. There wasn't a lot to talk about. They played a night in Brooklyn on the back-to-back. But this Minnesota Timberwolves team at 31-13 is a player short. And that is, I know they didn't have Mike last night. They'll get him back tonight probably, but they need another guy. Tyus Jones didn't look great last night, but that might be because he's playing with what I deem is the dumbest NBA roster in the mankind. And yeah, they need another guard. They need someone that can initiate offense, that can score. Monte Morris might be that guy.
So yeah. Anthony Edwards and Karl Anthony Towns combined for 52 shots and 17 free throw attempts last night. The next closest, you had Gobert can generate some offense if other people lob it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden McDaniels was the next player with 11 field goal attempts. They just, like, who can kind of slot in there off the bench, get you 22 minutes, microwave some offense? Monte Morris, if you can make it work.
Sloppy game, though, against the Wizards, against a team that doesn't try and does weird stuff. 7 turnovers last night. If you're looking for something to hang your hat on, that's like, can they clean this up a little bit? No Mike Conley, but only 7 turnovers. 4 belong to Ant. Not pretty game. Ball didn't go in the rim, but I thought it looked a little better than that Hornets game. So let's see how they respond tonight.
Yep. All right, boys. Great session here. A little flagrant howls for you on this Thursday. Your favorite.
Shout out Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson. Generic names for the win.